hadn't moved his head the whole time. He hadn't even bothered to ask what it was. "He bloody well knows," thought Cruces. "How is it you can never tell him anything he doesn't know?" Lord Vetinari put down a piece of paper on one of the piles and picked up another.
"You are still here, Dr. Cruces?"
"I can assure you, my lord, that—"
"I'm sure you can, I'm sure you can. There is one question that intrigues me, however,
my lord.
Why was it in your guild house to be stolen? I had been given to understand it had been destroyed. I'm quite sure I gave orders."
This was the question the assassin had been hoping would not be asked, but the patrician was good at that game.
My predecessor, thought it should serve as a warning and an example."
The patrician looked up and smiled brightly.
"Capital," he said. "I have always had a great belief in the effectiveness of examples. So I'm sure you'll be able to sort this out with minimum inconvenience all round."
"Certainly, my lord," said the assassin glumly, "but—"
Noon began. Noon in Ankh-Morpork took some time, since 12 o'clock was established by consensus. Generally, the first bell to start was that one in the Teachers' Guild in response to the universal prayers of its members. Then the water clock on the Temple of Small Gods would trigger the big bronze gong. The black bell in the Temple of Fate struck once, unexpectedly. But by then the silver pedal-driven carillon in the Fool's Guild would be tinkling, the gongs, bells and chimes of all the guilds and temples would be in full swing, and it was impossible to tell them apart, except for the tongueless and magical octoron bell of old Tom in the unseen university clock tower, whose 12 measured silences temporarily overruled the din. And finally, several strokes behind all the others, was the bell of the Assassin's Guild, which was always last. Beside the patrician, the ornamental sundial chimed twice and fell over.
"You were saying," said the patrician mildly.
"Captain Vimes," said Dr. Cruces, "he's taking an interest."
"Dear me, but it is his job."
"Really, I must demand that you call him off."
The words echoed around the garden. Several pigeons flew away.
"Demand," said the patrician sweetly.
Dr. Cruces backed and filled desperately.
"He is a servant, after all," he said. "I see no reason why he should be allowed to involve himself in affairs that don't concern him."
"I rather believe he thinks he's a servant of the law," said the patrician.
"He's a jack in office and an insolent upstart."
"Dear me, I did not appreciate your strength of feeling. But since you demand it, I will bring him to heel without delay."
"Thank you."
"Don't mention it. Do not let me keep you."
Dr. Cruces wandered off in the direction of the patrician's idle gesture. Lord Vetinari bent over his paperwork again and did not even look up when there was a distant muffled cry. Instead, he reached down and rang a small silver bell. A clerk hurried up.
"Go and fetch the ladder, will you, Drumknot?" he said. "Dr. Cruces seems to have fallen into the ho-ho."
The back door to the dwarf Bjorn Hammerhock's workshop lifted off the latch and creaked open. He went to see if there was anyone there and shivered. He shut the door.
"Bit of a chilly breeze," he said to the room's other occupant. "Still, we could do with it."
The ceiling of the workshop was only about 5 feet above the floor. That was more than tall enough for a dwarf.
"Ow!" said a voice that no one heard.
Hammerhock looked at the thing clamped in the vise and picked up a screwdriver.
"Ow!"
"Amazing," he said. "I think that moving this tube down the barrel forces the 6 chambers to slide along, presenting a new one to the firing hole. That seems clear enough. The triggering mechanism is really just a tinderbox device. The spring here has rusted through. I can easily replace that, you know,"
he said, looking up.
"This is a very interesting device, with the chemicals in the tubes and all. Such a simple idea. Is it a clown thing, some kind of automatic slapstick?"
He sorted through a bin of metal offcuts to find a piece of steel, and then selected a file.
"I'd like to make a few sketches afterwards," he said.
About 30 seconds later, there